Gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You are in tune to 1510 AM WWBC, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, Merritt Island, Titusville and the Beaches.
What does the Apostle Paul say is the hardest part of living the Christian life? Find out today on Through the Bible with our teacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee. If you're trying to live the Christian life on your own, you're working way too hard. That's what we learn today as the Bible bus arrives at Romans chapter 7, verse 7. I'm Steve Schwetz, and this is Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee. Before we get started, we got just enough time to share an email from a listener named Mary. I want to shout out a big thank you to my friend Mike for introducing me to your programs, she writes. I tried to read the Bible on my own but didn't understand it. I also tried to go to church, but since I'm not old enough to have a license yet, I couldn't regularly find someone to take me. So when Mike told me about Through the Bible, I gave it a try and haven't stopped listening since. The more I listen, the more I understand. Mike says he tells everyone he knows about the broadcasts, but I'm the first person who has ever listened. Please help me encourage him to keep telling more people. You never know when someone's life will change because of it. Well, what a great letter, Mary, and welcome aboard the Bible bus. And Mike, I agree with her. Keep telling people about God's love and pointing them to His Word. We're so grateful for your courage and your persistence. You know, there's always room for one more on the Bible bus. That's what we say. So we make it really easy and fun. You can always invite your friends and family. We'd love to send you some of our free Bible bus passes. Now, each pass is about the size of a business card. It's got a QR code and our web address with easy access to our study. You can get a free 10-pack of Listen bus passes. That's our most popular one, by calling 1-800-65-BIBLE or emailing us at biblebus@ttb.org. Now, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for your Spirit who promises to lead us into all truth. Help us to listen now. In Jesus' name, amen. Here's Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now today, friends, we return back to this seventh chapter of Romans that a great many feel is the very key chapter to the epistle of the Romans. We've seen the shackles of a saved soul in the first few verses. Christ not only died to remove the guilt of sin, but He also died and rose again that we today might be joined to a living Savior. And the Christian life is for Him to live that life through us. We can't do it ourselves. We can't do it by law. The law is a ministry unto condemnation. And that's what Paul says in verse 7. But there's nothing wrong with the law. Let's understand that the problem is with us today. Now listen to his language, and I'm going to read my translation here, which I do not recommend, but I'm trying to bring out the meaning. Follow along in your text. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? Away with the thought. On the contrary, I should not have known or been conscious of sin except through the law, for I had not known illicit desire, that is coveting, but sin getting a start through the commandment produced in me all manner of illicit desires. Apart from the law, sin is dead. And that's Romans 7:7-8. Now you see, Paul began his argument way back in the sixth chapter with this expression, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin? Now again we find it. Is the law sin? Well, in the first part of this chapter, Paul seems to be saying that law and sin are on a par. If release from sin means release from the law, then are they not the same? And Paul says, perish the thought. Paul will now show that the law is good. It's part of God's will. It reveals His will. And the difficulty is not with the law, but the difficulty is with us. It's the flesh that is at fault. And now Paul becomes very personal in the remainder of this chapter. Have you noticed that he begins now in this section to use the first person pronoun, I and me and myself, and they're used 47 times in this section here in the 7th of Romans. I appears 28 times, and this is the struggle Paul had within himself. He tried to live for God in the power of his new nature, but this he found impossible. The law revealed to Paul the exceeding sinfulness of sin. The law was an x-ray of his heart, and that's what the law does. You put the law down on your life, and the Word of God is called a mirror. It's a mirror, and a mirror reveals yourself. If you've got a spot on your face, the mirror will show it to you. Now, you don't use the mirror to rub it off. And the law can't remove the spot, but it can show you the spot. But God has a place to remove it. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. Then, therefore, the law revealed the exceeding sinfulness of sin. And that's the important thing that it does. The law, therefore, was not at fault, but that old Adamic nature's the culprit. The admonition of prohibition contained in the law makes clear the weakness of the flesh. It shows that we're a sinner, and that's the reason that it's not important at all. I'm amazed at the number of mirrors that you see around you today. They're everywhere. Department stores are filled with them. They're even on the street. I found out that when we travel around, now which we do a great deal, that one of the first things that my wife will look for in a motel or hotel is the mirror. How many mirrors do they have? And whether there's a full-length mirror. And it's amazing how we all like to look in a mirror and see ourselves. Out here in California, there was a test made some time ago. I don't know just where it was, but there was a mirror that was put in a very public place. And the test was to see whether men or women looked at themselves more. That is, which one, men or women. And as far as I was concerned, they didn't need to put that up. I could have told them it was the women. But unfortunately, the test revealed it otherwise. There were more men that looked in the mirror than there were women. And believe me, I think that test ought to be run over again, because that just doesn't sound right to me. But nevertheless, I accept it. We all like to see ourselves. We like to look in the mirror, except one mirror, and that's the Word of God. You know why? It reveals us as sinners. And that's what the law does, that we are horrible, lost, awful sinners. Now notice verse 9. Paul says, "For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died." You see, it's a ministry of condemnation. The law condemns us, and it can't do anything else but condemn us. Now notice verse 10. "And the commandment which was ordained to life I found to be unto death." This is the tragedy of any person who seeks to live by the law. It doesn't lead him to life. Now it's true that God said of the law, "This do and thou shalt live," in Leviticus 18:5, but the doing of it proved to be difficult. The fault wasn't in the law. It was in the one who thought the law would bring life and power. It did neither. It merely revealed the weakness, the inability, and the sin of the individual. It's a ministration of condemnation and a ministration of death, if you please. You see, Paul put it in another epistle in Galatians. He said if there had been a law given that could have given life, and God would have given it. But you see, life doesn't come by the law, and living doesn't come by the law. Now let me use this illustration. A new car can be a very good thing, but in the hands of an inexperienced or an incapable driver, it can become a menace, and it can become a danger. It actually can become a death-dealing instrument. Now the fault's not with the automobile, the fault's with the driver. And the problem today is with man. Man is the one that's at fault. He's the culprit. Right now, there's been a great deal of discussion about gun control. We don't need gun control, we need man control. Somebody says, well, you know, a gun killed a man. No, a gun didn't kill a man. All you can do with a gun is pull a trigger. If you point it at a man, it'll kill him, but you've got to have somebody there pulling the trigger. And that's the fellow that does the killing, and that's man. That's the sinner. And the problem is with man today. But nobody's come up with any kind of a plan today in politics or in the ministry or in sociology or in any field today to control a man. It's all to control a gun. Now, verse 11. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. In other words, sin is personified again here and is a tempter. Sin tempts every man outside the Garden of Eden relative to himself and God. Satan made man believe in the Garden of Eden that God could not be trusted and that man was able to become God apart from God. Sin is like a Pied Piper today. It leads the children of men into believing that they can keep the law and that God is not needed. This is the false trail that he's been talking about that leads to death. It was ordained to life, Paul said, and he found that it led him to death. He says, I found it led me to death. Sin at last will kill, for the law did bring a knowledge of sin, and man is without excuse. And the difficulty, again, is not with the law, but it's with man. Therefore, Paul can say in verse 12, wherefore the law is holy, the commandment holy and just and good. And this is important for us to see. The problem is a human problem. Man is the X in the equation of life. He's the uncertain one. He's the one that cannot be trusted. Now notice verse 13. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid, but sin that it might appear sin worketh death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. Now this is a strange paradox. Is it a perversion of a good thing? Well, the commandment was totally incapable of communicating life. Man must have recourse to help from the outside because the commandment intensified the awfulness of sin. Now, verse 14, while we know that the law is spiritual, but I'm carnal, sold under sin. This is Paul's statement. And you can begin here now this personal struggle of the Apostle Paul. And notice the we and the I here. We know. This was the general agreement among believers. The law is spiritual in the sense that it was given by the Holy Spirit. And it's part of the Word of God. In other words, that is an expression in Scripture. For instance, in 1 Corinthians 10:4, the rock is called spiritual. For obviously, the reference is that it was produced by the Holy Spirit. Israel in the wilderness had spiritual meat and spiritual drink in this sense. That is, the Spirit of God provided it. But now Paul says, but I'm carnal. That means I'm of the flesh, and the flesh is weak. And the word here is sarkonos. It does not mean just the meat on the bones of the body. This is neutral. This body of ours, it can be used for that which is good or bad. It's like the automobile or the gun we referred to. It's this old human mind and the spirit and the nature which occupies and uses the flesh so that actually the flesh itself is contaminated with sin. For example, look upon the face of a baby. Then look at that same face 50 years later. Sin is written indelible lines upon the surface of the body. The flesh is inert. It has no capabilities or possibilities towards God. It's dominated by a sinful nature and the ramifications of which reach into the inmost recesses of the body and mind. The frontal lobe of the brain is merely the instrument to devise evil. The motor neurons are ready to spring into evil excesses. And the heart of man, it's desperately wicked. And he wants to do the things that are evil, and the body responds to that. And Paul describes here its pitiful plight as a slave sold to a Simon Legree taskmaster with a whiplash of evil. And here you have the struggle of a saved soul. And I want you to notice, for this is so very important. Verse 15, and you have the old nature and the new nature. There are two eyes. Now listen to him. For that which I do, I allow not. That's verse 15, the first part of it. Let me change that a little. For that which I do is the old nature, I allow not. The new nature doesn't want to do it. For what I would, now notice here the last part, for what I would, that is, what the new nature wants to do, that do I not. The old nature rebels, won't respond, won't do it. But what I hate, that is, the new nature hates, that do I. The old nature goes right ahead and does it. Do you know anything about that? Do you know in your Christian life, do you have the experience of this struggle of doing something, then hating yourself because you did it, and you have to cry out, oh God, how I failed you. I think every child of God has had that experience. Simon Peter had that experience. Paul had that experience. And this is his experience he's talking about here. And there apparently were three periods in the life of the Apostle Paul. There was that period when he was a proud Pharisee under the Mosaic system, but kidding himself because he was bringing the sacrifices and doing these little things that he thought would make him right with God, but the law was condemning him all the time. But he's a proud Pharisee, ignoring that. Then there came the day in his experience when he met Christ on the Damascus Road. And now this proud young Pharisee turns to Christ as his Savior. But he still feels that he can live the Christian life. And that new nature said, I'm now going to live for God. And he fell on his face. And that was the struggle. And that was the failure. I do not know how long that lasted. Probably not long. But he went through that period. Then there came the day, and we shall see here, there was a victory, only he didn't win it. But Christ did. And he learned that it was, again, a matter of yielding, presenting himself, and let the Spirit of God live the Christian life through him. He could not do it. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. He still had the old nature, and now he makes this statement. And Paul learned two things in the struggle, and this is something that many of us believers need to learn. Number one is, verse 18a, for I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, this old nature that we've been talking about, dwelleth no good thing. In me dwelleth no good thing. Now, have you learned that? Have you found out that there's no good in you? Oh, how many of us Christians today feel like that in the flesh, that we can do something that will please God. And then we find many of these Christians today that don't seem to ever find it otherwise, well, they become busy as termites. They're having about the same effect in a lot of our churches. They're busy as a little bee, but they're not making any honey. They're making vinegar and causing trouble. They get on committees. They're chairman of boards. They try to run the church, and they think that they're pleasing God. And they're busy, but they have no vital connection with the person of Christ, and his life and his death and resurrection is not being lived through them. They're attempting to do it in their own strength by the flesh. And they haven't learned that, as Paul says, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Let me make it personal. Anything that Vernon McGee does in the flesh, God hates it. God won't have it, God can't use it, and it's of the flesh and it's no good. Have you learned that? It's a great lesson. Paul learned that. The Lord Jesus had said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. And that's John 3:6, and that's all it'll ever be. It can be nothing else but that. But whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. My, how wonderful that is. Now you are given a new nature. That new nature won't commit sin. I'll assure you, the new nature won't commit sin. When I sin, it's the old nature. That new nature won't do it. That new nature just hates sin. That new nature at night won't let me sleep. And it says, look, you're wrong. You got to make it right. Is that the way it does for you? And now Paul found out something else that's very important here for us to learn. He says in verse 18 now, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not." The new nature can't do it. He found out there's no good in the old nature and that there's no power in the new nature. Now, the new nature wants to serve God. Fact of the matter is, that is exactly what it wants to do. But the carnal man is enmity against God. It's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that new nature has no power, and that's where many of us make our mistake as Christians. I remember when I started out, I was going to live for God. That's when I fell on my face. I never fell harder than I did then. I thought I could do it myself. Those are the two big mistakes. There's no good in the old nature. There's no power in the new nature. And that's the reason that an evangelist can always get response in a meeting. He can always say, and I'm afraid 90% of the decisions that are made in our churches today have been made by Christians who've been living a failure as a Christian life. And what they really are saying is, I want to live for God. I want to do better. Anytime an evangelist in any meeting says, all of you that want to live for God, put up your hand. All of you today that want to come closer to God, you put up your hand. Those of you today that want to commit your life to God, put up your hand and come forward. Well, the minute they say that, they got me. That's what I want to do. That new nature of mine says, I sure would like to live for God. There's no power in it. And that's the mistake. There have been some people who have been coming forward for years, and that's all they've been doing, just coming forward. And they've never gone anywhere. They just go forward, that's all. And they never arrive. They never get anyplace. Oh, to understand this great truth, and Paul goes on here to talk about this. He says, for the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Verse 19. You know anything about that? Verse 20. Now if I do that I would not, it's no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Verse 20. It's that old nature that's causing us trouble. Then Paul says, I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. Verse 21. And I'll be honest with you. Any time that you want to do good and you're tempting to serve God in the Spirit, have you discovered the old nature is right there to bring evil? An evil thought will come into your mind. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, Paul says, but the new nature, I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me, that is my new nature, into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. And you don't get rid of the old nature when you're saved, and yet no power's in the new nature, and it causes the child of God who is honest to cry out, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the power of this death? That's verse 24. This is Paul's experience as a believer. This is not an unsaved man that's saying, oh, wretched man that I am. This is a saved man. And he says, oh, wretched man that I am. Who's going to deliver me? He's helpless. He's got his shoulders pinned to the floor. He's been wrestled down. He's like old Jacob. He's crippled. And now there is a way. Will you listen? And we'll have to wait until next time to deal with it. But listen to this. Verse 25. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. And if you try and follow the law and live that way, my friends, it leads to sin and death. And there'll be no fruit in your life. But when you see it's through Jesus Christ. Now he's given us a modus operandi. That's in chapter 8. And next time we're going to consider that. When we come to chapter 8, this is great. This is all important. And we'll be dealing with it next time. I hope you'll be with us. And until then, may God richly bless you, my beloved.
Well, that's a great teaser for our next four studies. Join us as we make our way through Romans chapter 8. And if you'd like to spend more time in Romans on your own, you can download Dr. McGee's digital booklet, 1 Hour in Romans, and our Bible Companion for Romans at ttb.org/booklets. Now, these are just two of the more than 100 available for free downloadable TTB booklets we've got. So just go to ttb.org. And you can carve out some time and wander around the virtual aisles filled with great resources that'll take you deeper into God's Word. Now, if you've got questions or maybe you need to reach us by phone or email, you can do that by calling 1-800-65-BIBLE or BibleBus at ttb.org. I'm Steve Schwetz, and I'll be here next time saving a seat on the Bible bus just for you.
Jesus made it home, unto Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, He washed it white as snow.
Through the Bible is a 5-year study of God's entire Word, and together we discover God's purposes in history and our lives. Found only when we believe in Jesus Christ.
The God we serve can do anything but fail. Help me say,
God is dead.
Come on, say,
God is dead.
Said I know that He is, say,
God is dead.
God is able, say,
God is dead.
Oh, yes, He is.
God is dead.
Yes, it. God is.
God is dead.
Said I know that He is.
God is able.
God is able.
God is able.
I like that. He can do.
He can do the impossible.
God said it.
God said it. It's
He can do.
He can do the impossible.
The impossible.
God said it. That's my testimony now. God is dead.
I tried Him and I know He is.
God is dead.
There's nothing too hard for God.
God is dead.
Be encouraged, my friend.
God is dead.
No matter what you're going through.
God is dead.
This is a message just for you.
God is dead.
You may be at your end.
God is dead.
But the God I serve, He'll step right in. He can do
the impossible.
God said it in His word. He can do. Said I know that He can. Help me say. Exceedingly, abundantly, and above all that you can ask or think. I'm here to tell you that He can do anything, anything but fail. I know that He can, He can.
He can do it.
Come on, help me say He can.
He can do it.
Good God, if you need a miracle,
He can do it.
He can do it. Yes, He can.
He can do it.
Blessing, He can.
He can do it.
I know that He can do it.
He can do it.
Listen, it's never too late for God.
He can do it.
He's always on time.
He can do it.
Come on, help me say, He can do it.
He can do it.
Yes, He can. He can.
You are listening to WWBC Coco, Merritt Island, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Coco, Rockledge, 94.7 FM, W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, Indian Atlantic, Indian Harbor Beach, Satellite Beach, 100.7 FM, and W260CL, Coco, 99.9 FM.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Greetings in the name of Jesus. I am Minister Gloria Ross, and I thank you for tuning in to the broadcast of New Life Assembly of God. Our address is 774 North Apollo Boulevard, and that's in Melbourne, Florida. Our phone number that you can reach us is 321-255-6999. Our service time starts at 11 o'clock a.m. every Sunday. So come on out and be blessed. Now stay tuned to the broadcast.
Father, we thank you once again in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We lift up our radio audience, our faith partners, radio listeners, whomever they are out there in radio land that have tuned into the broadcast. We pray for you today because these are trying times, last days, so much that's going on, and we need everyone praying for one another and also believing and trusting in the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is what we pray and we thank God for. And Lord, we ask that you would just touch hearts right now and bring forth deliverance into the lives of those that do not know you. You're coming soon. We thank you for that right now in the precious name of Jesus. We rebuke right now any demonic influence that will try to hinder or cause confusion when this word goes forth. We bind them in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We cast them out right now. We take that authority that's been given unto us according to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He said, "Behold, I give unto you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt us." Right now, Satan, take your hands off of the minds of those that do not believe. And even those that believe, I command the enemy to cease and desist and leave the lives of those that want to serve the true and living God. Lord, we thank you and we praise you right now that the blood still has power. The blood of Jesus still has power. And Lord, we thank you for your blood that was shed at Calvary's cross. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
And amen. We want to look at what the Word of God said in 1 John here. This morning we want to give all the honor unto our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We want to look at what the light that we've asked to come into our lives. The Lord Jesus Christ said to us all that He is the light of the world. And we have asked that are born again, we have asked light to come into our lives as children of God. And even those that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, light can come into their lives if they only stop, repent, and ask the Lord Jesus to come into their lives. Jesus is the light of the world. When he walked this earth, it was light. And the Bible tells us that the light shine in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Well, I want to tell you today that light dispels darkness. And darkness is the absence of light. So the world today are walking mostly in darkness. And this is why we have the mandate as ambassadors of God to take this message to a dying world. A lost generation, folks that fail choice-wise to receive the light in their hearts. So today we want to look at what God's Word says to us all. There are no big eyes and little U's. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But today we want to just look at the light that we as born-again believers have asked to come into our lives. In 1 John 1 and verse 7, the Word of God tells us, When I say us, we are talking about those that are born again. Because the most important thing is that the scriptures are written to those that know the Lord Jesus Christ, children of the Most High God. John says in 1 John 1 and verse 7, he says, to walk in the light as he is in the light. And we will have fellowship one with another. And the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ will cleanse us from all sin. That is powerful.
Yes, it is.
The blood of Jesus. Mm-hmm. The blood has its power to wash you and cleanse you from all sin. The most important thing is that there's power in the blood of Jesus. The scripture tells us that the blood will cleanse us from all sin. And I'm not just speaking to born again believers. I'm speaking to folks out there in Radio Land that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the only way you can know him is that you must come to him. And when you come to him, you're coming by way of Calvary, the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is why it's so important that we preach the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, it's in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 18. And Minister Glory, I would like for you to read that. Praise God. Because Paul is talking about the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, in order for you to walk in this glorious light, as John is saying, you have to first come to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only way you can walk in this light. And his blood cleanses us, and it will cleanse you from all sin if you believe and trust in him. And that's why this cross, where the blood was shed. And if you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, you have to come by way of Calvary. Glory to God. You can't be saved except by way of Calvary. You can make a confession, but you got to believe that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Miss Glory, read 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 18 for starters. Praise God.
It says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness.
You see, this is why folks are foolish, because in order for their sins to be forgiven, they must come by way of Calvary, the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one that must be exalted. He is the ascended Lord and the risen Savior, and he cleanses us through his precious blood that was shed on Calvary's cross. And this is why the preaching of the cross to them that perish is foolishness. Folks that are dying, if you want to get saved, glory to God, if you want the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your life and you walk in that light, praise God, that he gives us all, praise the Lord, you come to Jesus. I said, come to Jesus. Many of us, what we do is that we say a few phrases of Christianity or religion, and we say, well, that is all right. No, there is a way that we all come. And we come by way of Calvary. We ask the Lord Jesus Christ to come into our hearts. My God. So Paul was telling the church of Corinth, the Corinthians, that for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish is foolishness. You don't have to be foolish. You can receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life. So many are dying and going into a Christless eternity because they are trying to embody religion. They are trying to do it themselves. And they say, well, I don't cuss and I don't drink and I don't commit murder and so forth. But salvation is by way of Calvary. Glory to God. I said salvation is by way of Calvary. And if you come to Calvary, receive the Lord Jesus Christ, in order to receive him, you must receive everything that he has done for you. Praise God. And thank him for the blood that was shed And now the light that he has given us all as children of God, that we can walk in that light. Our manner of behavior is that we walk in light. We are transparent. We don't have hidden agendas. What it is that we walk in the light. So, Minister Glory, so Paul is saying there, before we get back into 1 John, it says there that for the preaching of the cross, to them that perish is foolishness.
But unto us, which are saved, it is the power of God.
Glory to God. So we know that the cross is the power of God. So if you want to walk in the power of God, then you face your faith. Place Jesus as the object of your faith. Look at what he has done on Calvary's cross. Receive it into your heart. Receive the light that he has given us all. When he walked in his earthly ministry, he said he's the light of the world. And we are the light of the world as well, because he is in us and we are in him. And light is on the inside of us. Praise God. Praise God. The light of the world. So he's telling us, he said, well, walk in the light. That's what John is saying. He says, walk in the light as we are in the light. And he's in the light. And we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, I said the blood of Jesus Christ, cleanses us from all sin. Let me tell you something. A lot of folks talk about, well, that is not for Christians, that's for sinners. How can you have fellowship with God and if you don't know God? So we know that that's not true. My God, that's not true. The word of God is clear. It tells us that he is speaking to those that know the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. Minister Gloria, you want to read the next verse of this?
It says, if, that's the qualifier.
Yes, praise
we
God.
We say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
Now, John is telling us, and he's kind of like letting us know that we've sinned, because Apostle Paul said there in Romans 3 in verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Everybody has sinned. And since everyone sinned, then everyone needs a Savior. And Jesus Christ is that Savior. This is Lift Up Jesus. We want to talk about him today. Glory to God. And not about any bad things that have taken place in the past concerning our mortal lives. But we want to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Glory to God. And he says here that we can walk in this light. And he said, and if we say that we have not sinned, we what?
We deceive ourselves.
We deceive ourselves.
And the truth
is not in us. And we know who the truth is.
Amen.
Jesus Christ is the truth. Glory to God. He is the truth. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And I want to tell you today that the scriptures are clear. And most of us, we need to understand that religion can't get you anywhere but in a whole lot of trouble. And after that, eternal damnation. Because Jesus didn't come to bring religion to us. He came to bring forth a relationship between us and the Father. That's why he's that light. And if you want to come to that light, receive that light, and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ and thank him for the blood that was shed on Calvary's cross. We can't say that we have not sinned. The word tells us that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. So, Minister Glory, now, he says here, and this is why between the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, where Paul was telling the church of Corinth, and even here, the only way that we can be cleansed is through the shed blood of Jesus. And the only way that we can walk in the light is through the light of the word, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the light.
Amen.
Amen. He is the light. Glory to God. And if we say we have not sinned, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us, because we've all sinned. But I want to tell you today, the word is very clear, and God has made the way for us if we sin. And this is why it's so important that we understand that this James, he's not talking to sinners, he's talking to saints.
Amen.
Folks in the church. Glory to God. There are a lot of folks that are sipping and dipping and lying and crying and talking all kinds of things that are contrary to what the word of God says. But I want to tell you today, in love, you can walk in this light as he is in the light. God is light. And in him there's no darkness at all.
Amen.
Praise God. Hallelujah. And this is so important. So he says, if we say that we have not sinned, we deceive ourselves. I mean, it's a sad situation for you to deceive yourselves when you have a devil out there that's deceiving people. Don't work for him. Lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. Walk in the truth of his word and realize that you have sinned and you've come short of the glory of God. And you can open up your heart and receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life. He is the only one that makes the difference in our lives. He is the light of the world. We are the light. Glory to God. We're the light of the world. And this is why the word of God tells us that men's glory. I think there's a verse of scripture that's in Matthew 5. I think it is there. It talks about walking the light. In verse, I think it's 16 or somewhere around in there. If you want to go there while I continue to talk to my radio listeners out there, telling them about the light of the word.
Yes.
Glory to God. The Lord Jesus Christ is that light. And we that are born again, we've asked light to come into us. Praise God. And now we let this light shine. Why would we ask light to come into us if we want to walk in darkness? It makes no kind of sense. This is why the light that we ask to come into us through receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of our lives. And I want to just tell you out there in Radio Land, not only those that are born again, but even you that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, you right now, right where you are, you can repent of your sins and ask this light to come into your life. Receive this light and let the blood of Jesus Christ cleanse you from all sin. Glory to God. Glory to God. I tell you, it's a wonderful thing when we know that the light of the Lord Jesus Christ, the word, he is light. That's who he is. He's light. He's transparent. We're to be transparent. We're not to have hidden agendas. There are a lot of folks that have hidden agendas. They say one thing, believe, and do something else. But I want to tell you, Jesus loves you. He's made it possible for you to repent of your sins and ask him to come into your life, where you can walk in this light. It's a glorious light.
Amen.
My God, it dispelled darkness. Oh, and you can walk in the truth of God's word. Praise God. So this light, Minister Gloria.
It says, let your light so shine.
Praise God.
Before men.
Amen.
That they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven.
Amen. Praise God. Walk in the light.
Walk in the light.
As he's in the light.
Amen.
And you can have fellowship with God, one with another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses you from all sin. And if we say that we have not sinned, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But listen to this thing here. He is talking to Christians.
Yes.
Listen to what I'm saying. But I'm also using a bilateral approach to this verse, these verses of scripture, so that I can look at the other side, folks that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. You have the same opportunity if you repent of your sins and ask the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your heart. Listen, God's not willing that any perish. He doesn't want you to die. He wants you to have the opportunity to be with him throughout the ages of eternity. Minister Glory, would you read the next verse there in 1 John?
It says, if we confess our sins.
Good God Almighty, if we confess our sins. These are acts of sins. This is not the original sin, because Jesus took care of all of that on the cross of Calvary.
Amen.
That's why, if you want to get saved, you can make a confession. And the scripture tells us that you can confess. But what would be your confession? Listen to what I'm saying here. You can confess. Because Romans 10 and verse 9 and 10 tells us that if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, I want to tell you today, glory to God, that you can make that confession. You out there in radio, don't turn the radio off, because I'm speaking truth to you. And if your heart is open, you can receive this truth and glorify God. He said, if you confess your sins. Now, what that means that there's a distinct difference between
the sin nature and the
acts sin of nature sin. And the acts of sin.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So what James, John is talking about, he is speaking of acts of sin.
Amen.
Sins that we've done. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, Minister Dory, it's so important for us to also speak about this too, because Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. the Son of the living God, he took care of the sin on Calvary's cross.
Yes.
That's what he did. And we have to keep reiterating that, and I say overly emphasizing it as well, that people will understand that we're not talking about the sin nature there.
No.
That after Adam and Eve sinned, that everyone was born in sin. So right. Jesus took care. Matter of fact, the verse of scripture tells us that. I think that's in First John 2 there, isn't it? It talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
That
it's propitiation.
Yeah, he's the atoning sacrifice, the propitiation for all of our sins.
And not for ours only,
yes,
but also for the sins of the whole world.
So Jesus Christ dealt with the sin of the whole world. So the sin factor has been dealt with. God laid the iniquities of us all on Jesus. Mm-hmm. Jesus took the wrath of God for us. See, this is most important here that we understand that. So when John is talking about acts of sin, mm-hmm. he's talking about things that you've committed after, after yes. Jesus paid the price for your sin.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Glory to God. Glory to God. He paid the price for our sin.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
So the sin factor has been dealt with. Amen.
Amen.
It's a sad situation. You have folks today that are dying, going to a Christless eternity,
mm-hmm.
Without knowing that their sins have been forgiven,
mm-hmm.
because Jesus died on the cross for all of our sins.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. And what has happened is that somebody had to pay the price for the sin.
Yes.
So Jesus paid the price.
Yes, he did.
Can you imagine? For all of us.
For all of us.
And then now, you have the opportunity to just receive what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for you.
Hallelujah.
And walk in that light. Praise yeah. God. And many folks today, they don't really understand that the penalty of sin has been paid. Jesus paid that at Calvary's cross.
Mm-hmm.
And you say, well, why are you talking about sin? Well, I'm speaking to children of God here, glory to God, that these are acts of sin. These are things that you are doing. You know, sins of omission, sins of commission, and presumptuous sin, and all kinds of stuff that's going on. This is something that you are doing now. You're hating your brother and sister, and the Word of God says that he that hates his brother is a murderer. So you don't need to do that, praise God. John is telling us that we have a way out. Amen.
Yes.
We have a way out. And he says if we confess our sins,
he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins.
Wait a minute. If we confess, so we have to say these things.
After.
Listen, Lord, I've said something that was not right.
Amen.
Against my brother or my sister,
mm-hmm.
whomever they are, and I ask you to forgive me.
Praise the Lord.
And if I said it in their person, I should go and talk to them. These are things that I'm committing.
Mm-hmm.
This is a sin that I'm committing, and I'm asking the Lord Jesus Christ and whomever I've sinned against to forgive me.
Right.
These are acts of sin. This is something that we're doing.
Right.
You know, yeah. a lot of time people say, well, you're talking about sin. Well, yeah, Jesus died for our sin. That is true.
Mm-hmm.
Because the penalty of sin is death. And Jesus died paying that price for us all. So we can't stay there. We are talking now to folks that know the Lord Jesus Christ about acts of sin.
Right.
What you're doing. So what he says, if we confess our sin, we have to say this thing, right?
Yes. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Now, we know that he's talking about children of God. Yeah, we know these
Amen.
Are saints. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of folks talking about, well, that's for sinners. It's not. It's for us.
Mm-hmm.
As a child of God, it's for us.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how you look at the scriptures and say it's for a sinner. No. Well, if you sin, acts of sin,
mm-hmm.
then you confess that sin. And this makes us makes it possible for us to walk in this light. John, what is John saying in its entirety here? He's telling us that, well, if you walk in the light. If you make a mistake, you miss the mark, or in the Greek is hamartia, if you sin, that we can confess that sin. We confess it. We don't go to a man sitting in a booth with a curtain drawn before him. No, this is not where we go. We go to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Praise God.
Amen. And confess our sin. We confess it. We say it. We tell the Lord Jesus Christ what we've done.
Yes.
Amen. Now the scriptures are clear there. I mean, if I'm looking at something in a different light here, I stand to be corrected. But he says, if we confess our sins, he's not talking about an original sin. He's speaking about acts of sin, things that you and I do against one another, or perhaps even against the Word of God.
Yes.
Confess it. Mm-hmm. If we confess, and we have to say it. He wants us to say it.
Yes.
A lot of folks don't want to say it. Say, Lord, well, forgive
me.
Forgive brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so. No, you go to them. You sin, and then you ask them to forgive you.
Right.
And once you do that, you confess that before the Lord. Praise God.
Amen.
And he'll cleanse us from all sin. Mm-hmm. Well, our time slipped away here. Praise God. But I just want to tell you that we can't close this broadcast out without giving an opportunity for you to just think about your position right now, where you are, and where you can be by asking the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your life. Mr. Glory, quickly,
In Romans 10, 9 and 10, it says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved.
Amen.
But with the heart, man believes unto righteousness, and then with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. But whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved by faith.
Praise God. And I know there are folks out there that are running to and fro looking to buy a gift. But I want to tell you the gift that you need to give is the Lord Jesus Christ. God bless you all out there in Radio Land. I love you. And I thank God for you. And please tune in to the broadcast next week. Here's my prayer.
You've been listening to the Salvation and Deliverance Outreach, brought to you by New Life Assembly of God Church, located at 774 North Apollo Boulevard in Melbourne. Their number is 321-255-6999. You also can write New Life Assembly of God Church at Post Office Box 2303, Melbourne, Florida 32902. Be with us again at the same time next week for another program, Salvation and Deliverance Radio Outreach. Serving the Space Coast with the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You are in tune to 1510 AM WWBC, Coco, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, as well as W234BI, Coco, Rockledge, Merritt Island, Titusville and the Beaches, FM
94.7. We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you.